The World This Week, Politics.
Ukraine fired the first longer-range missile supplied by America into Russia after Joe Biden gave permission for the weapons to be used. The Army Tactical Missile System has a range of 300 kilometres, that's 186 miles. ATACMS targeted a military facility in Russia's Bryansk region. Russia said it shot the missiles down. Ukraine said it had hit an arms depot 110 kilometres inside Russia. Britain reportedly allowed Ukraine to use long-range Storm Shadow missiles, which targeted Russia's Kursk region. America closed its embassy in Kyiv after receiving information about a specific Russian air attack. American officials said the decision to close the building was made out of an abundance of caution. Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, signed an order that lowers the threshold for Russia's use of nuclear arms. The new doctrine allows Russia to launch nuclear missiles at a nuclear-armed country that merely supports any other country's attack on Russia, and also to fire the weapons in response to a critical threat to Russia's sovereignty. The decree was planned for a long time, but the timing of Mr. Putin's signature rattled some in the West. The G20's statement at the conclusion of its summit in Rio de Janeiro weakened its support for Ukraine, compared with its recent declarations omitting any mention of Russia. The G20 also failed to promise any transition away from fossil fuels, though it did call for more aid for climate change, as well as taxes on the very rich and poverty relief. Germany described the latest damage to two underwater communications cables in the Baltic Sea as sabotage. Suspicion fell on a Chinese-registered vessel that had docked in Russia. Separately, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Poland and Spain issued a joint statement declaring that Russia is systematically attacking European security architecture. Thousands of British farmers descended on London to protest against the government's decision to apply inheritance tax to farms. Officials claim that the changes will affect 500 estates. Farmers disagree and say 70,000 farms will be hit. Celebrity farmers such as Jeremy Clarkson supported the tooting tractors. Farmers also demonstrated in France over an EU-Mercosur trade deal, but were more robust in their protest than the genteel Brits. The French dumped manure and rotting food outside government buildings and burned hay bales. Donald Trump filled out more appointments for his new government with loyal supporters. They include Howard Lutnick, the boss of Cantor Fitzgerald, who was nominated as Commerce Secretary, and Linda McMahon, best known for her connections to professional wrestling. She was nominated to lead the Department of Education, which Mr. Trump hopes to grip in a half-Nelson by threatening to abolish it. Transit officials in New York approved a rejigged congestion charging scheme, which could come into force in Manhattan's central business districts on January 5th. The daily charge has been reduced to $9. Antony Blinken, the American Secretary of State, took to X to declare that Edmundo González is the president-elect of Venezuela. It was the first time that the United States has recognized the opposition candidate as president-elect since July's election. Nicolas Maduro's regime maintains that it won, but has refused to release voting tallies which might provide evidence of its victory. Mr. Maduro is due to be re-inaugurated on January 10th. Brazilian police arrested four members of an elite army unit and one police officer who were accused of plotting to kill President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva days before his inauguration in January 2023. The plot was part of a plan to keep the then incumbent president, Jair Bolsonaro, a far-right former army captain, in power after he lost the 2022 election. Separately, a supporter of Mr. Bolsonaro blew himself up outside Brazil's Supreme Court. Doctors Without Borders, widely known as MSF, suspended its operations in Haiti's capital over worsening security. The charity's staff have been threatened and an assault on one of its ambulances killed two patients. It will be missed. Only around a quarter of Port-au-Prince's health facilities are operating. Judges in Hong Kong sentenced 45 pro-democracy figures to between 4 and 10 years in prison in the city's biggest ever national security trial. The activists' crime was to have held a primary election in 2020 in the hope of winning control of the legislature. They then planned to demand greater democracy or else to vote down the government's budget and so force the chief executive to resign. The state called this subversion. America and the EU criticised the case as politically motivated. American prosecutors charged Gautam Adani, one of India's best-known businessmen and one of the world's richest people, in connection with a scheme that allegedly paid $250 million in bribes to Indian officials to obtain state contracts for a renewables energy firm owned by his conglomerate. The prosecutors claimed that Mr. Adani and seven others defrauded American investors. The Adani Group denied the allegations. The share prices of its companies swooned. Sri Lanka's snap parliamentary election was a landslide win for the left-wing coalition that supports the president, Anura Kumara Dissanayake. It took 159 seats in the 225-member legislature. Mr. Dissanayake is also the finance minister and must present a budget, which the IMF will note as it prepares to release the latest tranche of its loan to the country. Almost 100 lorries carrying food aid to Gaza were looted by armed gunmen. Philippe Lazzarini, the head of UNRWA, the UN's agency for Palestinians, said that the breakdown of civil order in Gaza meant it had become impossible to operate there. The UN said that almost no aid had reached parts of northern Gaza for 40 days and repeated its warning that famine was imminent. At least 36 people were killed in Israeli strikes on the Syrian town of Palmyra. The British-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said that the attacks had hit a weapons depot and other sites in and around an area inhabited by families who have relatives in Iranian-backed militias. Senegal's ruling party won a parliamentary election. It is a big victory for the president, Bassirou Diomaye Faye, who was elected in March promising radical reforms, which include fighting corruption and having a bigger say in the country's oil and gas industry.